Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be on your drive time on Sunday as you are headed for some destination. If you're listening to me today, many of you are traveling down the highway, and maybe you've just turned it on to KBOE 104.9 FM radio. We want to thank you for participating and being a part of this, but also to being part of Vital Ministries. And I believe that this morning, don't turn that channel. We are going to have a good word that I believe that God wants to speak to us this morning. So I hope as you drive down the highway, sit back. It's going to be an enjoyable time, and we're going to jump into what the Word of God says, and not only how it applied back then, but how it applies for us today. So I just want to encourage you in that. Also, too, many of you are on your way to church to worship this morning, and also, too, to receive the Word. I pray that this morning that the Lord goes before you, that Jesus meets you at the door, and the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you as you go and sit in that place where you always sit on Sunday morning. That will be a great time of worship and celebration. And also, too, many of you shared with me that, Mike, this is my Sunday morning, that you might be out, maybe sitting beside the radio at your home, maybe be out like some of my friends. I know one guy in particular, his name is Larry, and I know he likes to sit out and watch nature as he listens to me on Sunday morning. And Larry, if you're listening, good morning. Glad you're with us today. But with that being said, we just got a few things that, as we always have in Vital Ministries, that we just want to bring to your attention. We send out devotionals, folks, 6 days a week, and you go to vitalministries.org and check it out. You can go to our website and get that on demand on your phone. We have Vital Life. My wife writes that, gives a great nugget for each day. And then also, too, for men specifically, we send out devotionals 5 days a week for men, and you're not going to want to miss that. Matter of fact, I'm on a teaching series, The 5 Cowboy Codes That Apply to Your Life. It's a lot of fun. I think you're going to enjoy some of the things as you watch those videos and see not only what we see that goes out on rural farm life, but also, too, how it applies to life today. 5 Cowboy Rules. You don't want to miss it. And also, too, I just want to bring to your attention that we have Vital Men in 3 different locations on Tuesday evening. We are in Ottumwa, we are in Knoxville, and we are also right here in Oskaloosa. And we just have a great time as men. We are diving into the teaching series of 1st and 2nd Peter of Living Hope. And I tell you what, it has been really good as we've dug in and just seen some pretty incredible thing. So you don't want to miss out on that as well. But with that being said, we're going to jump into the teaching this morning because I think we've got a lot of stuff today to cover, and I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to do it. But we are so, as we continue our teaching today called The Stand, what is your stand in your faith? My mom used to say this, if you don't stand for something, you will fall to everything. Man, are those not good, true words about life and perspective as you live out your life? You know, it's interesting to me this, as many of you know, right now in Canada, there is a freedom convoy of truckers in the city of Ottawa. They are protesting against the COVID regulations made by the president, Mr. Trudeau. I'm sure I didn't say that correctly, but that's close as I can get it. Protesting against not being able to cross the U.S.-Canadian borders because they aren't vaccinated. They say there are over 500 truckers blocking the downtown area of Ottawa, and they are making a stand. See, folks, I believe they are doing this, what I believe, in a respectful way, not going and tearing down buildings and looting like a lot of times we've seen other organizations like the BLM or Antifa. They're not out to destroy or out to harm someone. They're out to make a stand and let people know they are against this mandate and their freedom. See, it's not right to go against what I believe freedom of choices, freedoms that we have. I today with you, I just want to be honest. I stand with them against the tyranny of men who have inflicted what I believe, let's call it for what it is, the China virus, and I believe many more events like this will happen in the future. I believe that we will see it not only in Canada, we are going to see it in the United States, and I believe too, all the way down on the southern part of the globe in Australia, we're going to see great reform, we're going to see reformation, and we're going to see freedoms come back in these three great nations. Taking a stand, folks, is without a doubt not easy. It requires courage to go against the ridicule of what people think. I want you to think about a person you've often heard of her. Her name is Rosa Parks, a black woman who decided one day that she wouldn't sit on the back of the bus, but she was going to sit on the front because blacks were made to sit in the back and only whites could sit in the front. Well, one day she decided that isn't right. I'm going to stand up for my freedom. And what she does is she sits on a bus and she makes a stand. And for that, she will be forever remembered for what she did. Against the tyranny, against a race that was unfair. And I tell you what, I believe that we will see more and more people doing such things, standing up for freedoms against a government trying to step away from what I believe the American people have believed in and what our Constitution says. We need to stay. We need men and women in leadership to stand on issues like abortion, border control, opioid addictions, sex trafficking, and many, many others, just to name a few this morning. That is going to take tough leadership. Today we're going to look at a man who was a slave in a foreign country, who was elevated to leadership all because of his faith in his God and his credibility to serve his fairly to an earthly king. A man who took a stand that would take him to a lion's den. I tell you what, folks, I'm excited this morning because I love men and women who take a stand and stand for what is true and what is right. This man's name is Daniel. He was one of the other men that also took a stand, like we talked about last week, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Their stand took them all the way to the fiery furnace, but in that furnace, they found Jesus Christ because he was there and protected them and was greater than the fire. We're going to see today the greater than the fire. We're going to see greater than the creation itself to shut the mouths of lions. Daniel was, his name means God is my judge. His name was without a doubt appropriate because Daniel chose to please God rather than men. He is similar to what I believe the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1:6. It says this, For am I now seeking the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Man, I tell you what, without a doubt, we're going to get to Paul eventually about his stand. But I love it again as we see these people in the Bible who make stands, and yet the stands that they make are stands that we have even for us today. To get a little background on Daniel, he was born in Jerusalem, but was taken captive when he was very young. And he got taken when the fall of Jerusalem and went to Babylon. Daniel was born from a noble family. He was taken captive as a young man, but he was selected to serve in the king's palace. Because he didn't have any physical defects, he was good looking, suitable for instruction, and all wisdom, knowledge, and was perceptive. Man, what great credible abilities that this man have. It's all recorded in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. And it gives us the criteria for the young men taken to Babylon who were eventually be used underneath the king himself, King Darius. But as we look at Babylon, as we keep going, he was trained and given for instruction. He was trained, folks, for 3 years before he was positioned for what God had for him. And he was officially to serve the king himself. But let's look at Daniel's story of his stand that led him to the lion's den and how God prevailed and showed him and shut the mouths of lions. So my point number one, if you're home listening today and you're writing down these points, I think they're really good and I think they really apply to our lives today. Point number one is this, Daniel had great ability. Now we're going to open up your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6 and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 to begin with this morning. And this is what it says, starting with verse 1. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. He appointed high officers to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other as administrators to supervise his high office and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than any other of the administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Now, again, this is amazing to see how God is using. See, King Darius was a very insightful leader. He suspected, this is interesting, he suspected that the officers of his kingdom were actually stealing his wealth. And because of that, he was going to put men like Daniel in place to watch over that. See, he couldn't keep tabs over everything that was going on. His kingdom was so big, so he needed trusted men to be positioned in those places. He needed one man that he could trust, one man that could have oversight over anything. It wasn't a Mede or a Persian. No, it was a Jew, and his name was Daniel. I love this part. It says, now, I want you to think with me for a second, folks. Now, bear in mind, again, Daniel is a slave in this kingdom. A Jew working among Medes and Persians. Daniel's character really shines here, and he could have, you know, folks, he could have been angry because he was taken captive from Jerusalem, the place of his birth, the place of his people. But no, he doesn't. He stands in position because he served God, and he knew God would not forsake him. Why? Because Daniel was well-versed in the books of the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible themselves. He knew about them. He saw the promises all the way from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Saw great things from Moses and Joshua, and just some incredible things that were done. He knew the rules and the regulations, and he knew two things that God wanted for him. He wanted Daniel to love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and spirit. But also, too, he wanted Daniel to love people. So Daniel, in order to follow God's instructions and his commands, he chose to serve under the king of Persia. See, I believe God does the same thing for us today, that he wants to elevate strong Christians with faith to serve him. Now, one in particular, you've heard me talk about different people, but I like the governor from South Dakota, Kristi Noem. She is a wife, a mother, a long-life rancher and farmer, and a small business owner. Man, I tell you what, her credentials are very small, but they stand very great in the position that she holds. She also is a woman of faith. She has been governor of South Dakota since 2019, stood up against the COVID, the China virus, kept her state open. She has made a hard stand against transgenders in the school system, and she fight against the deep state that tries to take over not only our country, but the state in which she governs. She fights for truth and justice, and she has great ability. And I believe she has found favor with the Lord because of her obedience and also too her willingness to serve God. And because of that, I believe, folks, that God has given her, like Daniel, great ability. And God does that all the way through Scripture, and we see him doing it ever present in today. But see, folks, don't forget that Daniel also had great God-given ability. And he does that with us even today. Which brings us next to our next point today is this, is that Daniel was above reproach. And I want to show you that. We're going to go back to Daniel 6, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 9, and this is what it says. Then the other administration and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn him. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance to find any grounds to accusing Daniel will be in correction with his rules of his religion. But let's keep reading. It says, so the administrators and high officers went out to the king and said, long live the king Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that should strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed, and an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signs it into law. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but I think that what is credibility here is that Daniel wasn't like the other leaders for several reasons. The biggest one is that he truly served the king, King Darius. But King Darius, he saw something special about Daniel, who was Jewish, but that there was something that was about him that the other officials didn't have. Daniel, folks, was credible. Oftentimes, leadership wants to take a position, I believe, not all leadership, but for personal gain. Fill their pockets and have people under power under them. Even today, we have something, what I believe, is like that. And to be honest, folks, sometimes it even enters the church. Why do you think the Lord is doing so much exposing in truth, even in the current times in which we live? Because I believe this, truth always comes to the top. I go to a small church in New Sharon, Iowa, and it's called the Lighthouse Church. And we have, without a doubt, a very young pastor and his wife, Eric. See, I like this guy. See, Eric, he's full of passion for the Lord. He's humble, and he's a quiet leader. He's humble. But also, too, I don't think he's... Another thing that I appreciate about Pastor Eric is that he's not tainted by bureaucracy or religion itself. He's not what I would call an Oral Roberts or a Charles Swindoll, but Eric puts out a good sermon and gives it with all his faith and his passion. We had a phone call this past week about a conversation, and he gave me a call Eric asked me my opinion on something, and we talked about, and it went really, really well. And I appreciated that he took the time to even ask me such things. But see, one thing as we got close to the end and we were talking about Eric himself, and he said, Eric, I want to remind you about something. Eric, people don't follow position. People follow passion. See, I believe Daniel was passionate in serving God, which made him above reproach. And I have to ask my own self and my own lifestyle, do I live such a life that is above reproach? And I want to ask you that same question this morning. How about your life? Do you live above reproach? And does that reflect in your everyday living of your life? See, folks, if we're going to stand in credibility and be Christians in an unchristian world, we have to live in such a lifestyle of unreproach. We have to live different. We have to look different. And I think it's just so important to see that because, you know, in Daniel's life, it says this. It says that Daniel was always responsible. He didn't criticize that. He was faithful and he was completely trustworthy. Folks, if we're going to have credibility in the workplace, credibility in the political systems, credibility within the church, we have to be trustworthy. We have to be above reproach. And I think it's important for us today to realize what that means. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit do I truly believe that we can attain such things. But let's keep going this morning to point number three. Daniel was penalized for his faith. And I want to show you that. Let's continue reading, starting with verse 10 through 18. And this is what it says. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, with the windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying, asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of the predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So the king gave orders for Daniel to be thrown and arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, May your God whom you serve so faithfully rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night fasting, and he refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep all night. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on here, folks. But it says this. See, these men, they were plotting this administration to get it done. They proposed new laws that no one could pray to any god but to the king himself. Anyone breaking that law would get themselves thrown into the lion's den. And again, we see Daniel, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, going against government rule that was against God's principles. That's important, folks, to see. He did not go against King Darius directly to try to go against him, but he also knew there was a higher power, and he was not going to go against that because he served God rather than men. So Daniel continued to pray. He continued to pray three times a day. The new administration, it was an absolute setup, tried to make it illegal, an illegal activity, so they caught Daniel. I don't know about you folks, but it sounds like a lot of these things that we've got going on currently today. From the mask mandate to the vaccinations to the China virus has made with, I believe, a man-made evil existence of what's happened in a virus. Have created evil laws to break the backs of what I believe the freedoms, not only in America, but across the globe. Nowhere in the Bible, folks, listen to me on this, nowhere in the Bible will you find masks being used during a pandemic. God never issued it, yet people died. So we go around like sheep with our government institutions, airports, and even businesses, because of what I believe of weak leadership. Folks, there have been people without a doubt who have died from the China virus. But there is also people who have died from cancer, have died from the flu, from measles, and other things similar to this itself. Without a doubt, there has been death and many things that have happened throughout the history of time. And it's also tragic. I'm not saying that it's not. So please don't go out and say, Mike said this is not tragic. It is tragic. But don't think that in America that they won't come after this next, folks, and hear me on this. They will come out after our biblical faith. See, it's essential for us to make a stand in truth, being willing to be penalized for our faith, just like Daniel. If a person chooses to be vaccinated, that's their choice. But if a person who doesn't, again, that's their choice. And I ask you to do that. Those who have not and those who have, ask Holy Spirit, what's right for what you to do? And I think it's important. It doesn't make a person less or greater whether they have or they haven't. That's a choice that they make. That is a personal freedom granted. But folks, what's your choice in faith? Where are you going with it? But let's keep going. We're almost close to the end here. And point number four is this. Daniel's obedience brought deliverance to all the kingdom about whose Daniel's God was. Let's continue in chapter 6, starting with verse 19. Very early the next morning, the king got up and he hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God whom you serve so faithfully able to rescue from the lion's den. Folks, I get excited about this next part, about the stand of Daniel. Daniel's standing on the inside. He says this, "Long live the king. My God sent his angels to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed, ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on Daniel, for he had trusted God in his stand. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and he had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. The lions leaped on them, tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, and he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, the reign of the Cyrus of the Cyrus and the Persians. We see God coming through and making Daniel stand. And I believe with all his many, it turned King Darius's heart to see who truly was the living God. Folks, those same things today. We've got a stand to make in America, in the place of where we live today. It's a stand. This is our stand. This is our place. The stand for the living God who gives and takes away. He is the same God who brings rescues. He is the same God who will rescue us and save his people. Just like he does for Israel, he will save those who stand before him, folks. And I believe with all his many. We have exciting days in the midst of our stand. And I hope today that you take to stand seriously and ask Holy Spirit what that looks for you today. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this day. I pray that the people who are making a stand will make a stand for you today and do it in such a way that is life-honoring, not only to you, King Jesus, but also to the people and also to the people of authority. That we do it in the right way in the midst of our stand, that we don't do it with evil, and we don't do it in such a way that it hurts other people. We make a stand because of our religious freedoms, Lord. We love you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Folks, I'm excited about this teaching series, The Stand. Stay with us next week as we're going to continue this series about the stand and what it means for us today as we live in such a time as this. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.